Are you gonna talk or?
I thought I was gonna have a big cough and then it didn't come. Or rather, you interrupted it, so it got scared. You scared off my cough.
Good.
Welcome to Opinion Havers, a movie podcast for the cold and the cold at heart. I'm Cody.
And I'm Tyler.
What do we watch, Tyler?
We watched Frozen Dose.
Yeah. See, because some people like to say the young and the young at heart, but it's Frozen. So I replaced the word young with cold. And I think it went pretty well. You liked it. I can see you approve. I can see the little twinkle in your eye you get when you approve of my intro.
Mm-hmm.
Frozen 2, what even is that?
It's the second Frozen movie.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
You got Elsa and Anna and Sven and Kristoff and Olaf.
Oh, you got them all.
And Stephanie, is that the joke?
When I was making the notes, I could not remember the dude's name. And I was like, there's like one dude.
Neither could I. Could
what remember. Is his name?
I can remember Hans, the bad guy, the bad guy from the first one. Yeah, I can remember his name.
So, what are your thoughts about this movie, Tyler? Just give me your first impression. What a preliminary, you know? How does it sit with you? Are you into it?
I liked it.
Okay. On a scale of Elsa to Olaf, how much did you like it?
Sven.
Oh.
Yeah.
You really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. I did. I had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the... Now, here's the thing. To peek behind the curtains of our highly veiled and secretive process, you were at the theaters watching a different movie.
Sure was.
Well, I went to go see this movie with my wife, as you went to go see it with your girlfriend weeks before. Right?
That's true.
Did you hear at some point a shrill, piercing scream?
In the movie?
In the movie theater.
I don't know.
Because I can assure you it came from our theater. As a mother, after probably 20 or 30 minutes of the kid having random outbursts and being sad.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they were sad about the movie or mad at their mom.
Okay.
All I know is that the mom was mean. She didn't do anything mean, but the kid continued to exclaim, "You're mean, mommy," for 20 minutes.
Oh, no.
In the theater, until she finally was like, "That's it, we're leaving. We're walking out. Dad and little sister are going to stay here and finish the movie. We're walking out of here." So they got up and walked out. And as they left, they rounded the corner, they went in the thing, they left the theater screen. This kid let loose a scream the likes of which has not been known in an age.
No.
And I was like, everyone heard that. And I wanted to text you in the theater as someone who, you know, I hate making noise or disturbing people around me in any way at the theater.
Correct.
I wanted to pull out my phone and text you and be like, did you hear that scream?
I don't think I did.
It was so loud.
I believe you. I think, too, what theater were you in? You're in one of the big ones.
Yeah.
See, I was in one of the small ones in the very, like, corner of the theater.
That's why I wanted to know if you heard it.
I don't know if I did or not. I don't think so. Yeah. Man, that's crazy. I see so many, like, big boy grown-up movies, and furthermore, I always go at the weirdest times where there's, like, only one or sometimes zero other people in the theater. Like, in the last 3 months, I think I've seen three different movies where I was the only person in the theater. Anyway, and so it's so weird if I do go to a Disney movie on like a Friday, you know, on like a weekday when it's like a normal time when the theater's full, I'm like, oh, right, like there are children that are terrible and like make the worst noises during the movie. Sometimes, not all the time.
And the kid wasn't losing it the whole time. It was just like randomly they would get real loud and then the parents would quiet him back down. But I think it was a mixture of mad about something with the snacks, upset because it reached a fever pitch. It got like noticeable where I think it had been happening, but it got ramped up during some particularly distressing times.
Look, we've all been there at the theater when we get upset about snacks. Snacks are important. They're an important part of anyone's movie-going experience. If you don't get the right snacks and the movie started, then it's like, well, now I gotta sit through this movie with bad snacks. Or I gotta miss part of the movie to get the correct snacks.
Here's a PSA to all the parents out there, Cody.
Yeah.
Just don't buy snacks at the movie theater for your kids. Buy them for yourself and tell them they're allowed to have, like, one. They'll be fine. They'll deal with it. I dealt with it. My dad always got Twizzlers. Guess what's like the only candy at the movie theater I don't like? I don't really like Twizzlers. It's
gotta be Twizzlers. Oh, that's rough.
But that's the only thing my dad would ever get. So you know what? I would just not eat. Like snacks.
And yeah, was fine. We didn't do a lot of snacks at the movie theater. Every now and again, you know, if we earned enough points and we got free popcorn, then we'd get popcorn. We've snuck in a few things though, you know?
Oh.
Even yesterday, when I was watching the movie, this is a little bonus review for you, Queen and Slim, while you were watching Frozen 2, probably the most different movie from Queen and Slim.
Yeah.
I'm not ashamed to admit that in my coat pocket, I had a piece of pizza. I did, sir. I had a piece of pizza.
What?
All right?
Cody,
I had cold pizza in my pocket. This is not the first time I brought pizza. I didn't bring a box of pizza, okay? It was literally one slice, which fits quite nicely into the inside coat, in your inside coat pocket, all right?
Uh-huh.
I pulled it out, and I was munching on it during the previews, and it was going real well. Let me tell you, my pizza experience peak. You know, it's one of those things. Not a lot of theaters have pizza, okay? And I was eating pizza in a movie, and that's a good time. But you know what isn't a good time? You're getting down to the end of your pizza, right? You got the crust. You got the little good bits still left of the sauce and cheese, right? Well, here's the problem. I dropped my good bits and my crust. I dropped it. It fell.
No.
It tumbled.
Oh.
It cascaded downward. It hit the seat, and it looked for a moment like it might not fall. And I was like, you know what? I could maybe eat a piece of pizza off a movie seat, all right? I had that thought, okay? I'm not ashamed to admit it. But then it fell all the way to the floor.
Oh.
And I knew that as an adult, I could not eat food that has been on a movie theater floor.
Can't do
it. I couldn't do it. And so I took my Ziploc bag in which my pizza came. I picked up my crust and I set it aside, you know? And in that moment, I could have let out a piercing scream that maybe you would have heard. But I didn't because I'm no longer a child. And that prepared me for what was an emotionally exhausting and deeply affecting film. It was a really bad, you know, like the movie is serious. And it's sad at times, and it's very emotional, you know? And when you start the movie by dropping your pizza, like, it just made it that much worse, you know?
Seems like we had very similar experiences.
So I enjoyed Frozen 2, personally. I liked it. I think I might have liked the first one a little better, which is crazy, because the first time I saw Frozen, I was not impressed.
Yeah.
The second time I saw Frozen 1, I was like, actually, I think this is a very good movie.
Yeah, I feel like the problem is, it feels like, especially with our age group, being, you know, the vague age we are.
Yeah.
The Frozen got pitched, to me at least, as, oh, it's on par with the movies you grew up with. Yeah. It's like they've done it again. This is going to be a classic. And I don't doubt that Disney will set it up there, because it's like... compared to the ones several years before and probably the ones that are kind of come several years after, is probably going to be like the best story-wise.
Yeah.
And character-wise. But when you compare, a lot of people like to compare it to Lion King. That's dumb. I compare it to Aladdin. Less dumb. Lion King is like the most successful animated movie ever made.
Right.
Except for Avatar.
Yeah, that's the other thing about this one is that not all Disney movies these days have music in them. Some of them don't. And so this one, I think, definitely stood out where I was like, oh, it had the breakout single that was, like, played as a single and not just, oh, it's part of the movie soundtrack people listen to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Let It Go was, like, it was a radio hit and it won the Oscar. You know, it's just like, okay.
Yeah. I think Frozen's had more of an impact on the world than maybe better Disney movies. But just...
Yeah, like I think Tangled is probably better than Frozen.
Oh, yeah.
But Frozen, it was, like, I don't know.
Frozen's more of an event than Tangled.
It was more of an event, more impactful, maybe.
Kids liked it more.
Yeah, although I will say, like, probably the best Disney movie from this decade, I would probably posit, would be Zootopia.
Yeah.
That one was excellent.
It was.
But also doesn't have music in it.
But Zootopia was a very much... Zootopia is not... It feels like it's a kid's movie, but... A lot of the stuff that movie does is a little bit over the heads of kids. Like, it's a movie really about, like, all kinds of racism and all that stuff. And it's like,
oh, it is a Disney film with an agenda about animals. It's like your Fox and the Hound kind of stuff, you know? That thing's like, there are racial epithets. We are going at it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I enjoyed Frozen 2. I liked it. I've got more to say about it, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to ruin it for anyone who hasn't seen it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spoil anything.
I thought you were going to make a Let It Go thing with the letting the spoilers
go
out of your mouth or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought you had something and then you didn't.
No, I was giving you an opportunity. No. I wanted you to guide me.
I mean, I'm lounging on the couch, Cody.
All right.
That's the issue. You're lounging, I'm lounging. I'm a full 35 feet from this microphone, it seems like.
Well,
you know how close I normally am. You're just in the same room as your microphone.
We need to go to Spoiler Town.
To Spoilerdale.
And I need you to ride up this fjord with me.
What are we riding up the fjord in, Cody? Give me detail. Give me the juice, Cody. The details are what makes it good for me.
We're taking water horses. There's no other way to get there, right?
I want ice horse.
Enchanted aquatic animals. You want ice horse?
I want the cool sensation on my taint.
Reduces swelling. That's yes. Nice. That's a twofer right there.
Yeah.
So you want my hot takes on Frozen 2? Is that what you want?
Yes.
You want me to give them to you? Here's my thing about Frozen, all right? This is where we get into the crux of the issue. Number one, Frozen. Frozen and Frozen 2 both actually suffer from like, B-minus writing, right? Where the plot is not always, like logic-proof, you know? And there's always some things where, like, the tone is maybe off or what's this? It seems almost half-baked at times, right? But the music is good, and the characters are good, and it all holds together fine, and that's good. But, like, you know, I mentioned Zootopia, I mentioned Tangled. Those are both much better written movies than Frozen 1 and 2, I would argue, okay? And I'm a writing guy, you know that. I like the writing, I like it when it's toit, all right? This writing was fine. Now, here's the thing. Frozen 1 is a movie about Anna, who I enjoyed, and I liked. It's about Olaf, who is the shining star of the movie in the very best part. You think it's... And then there's Elsa, who's the absolute worst. Just terrible. Just not a good character, and we don't like her. Except she's the star. Except the movie... The best. Frozen is not about her at all. It's about Anna, right? And is then it? We think it's about romance, but really it's about sisterhood, okay? That's what Frozen 1 is about. Now, Frozen 2 is like... Remember how Elsa was really not... The movie wasn't about her. She just had the solo, right? It was about Anna and her journey, and their journey as sisters. Well, this one, we're gonna make it more about Elsa... And she's going to become a super and do the thing all by herself. And then Anna's going to be running after her the whole time. And there's going to be like a weird love arc. And Olaf only gets one song when he deserves six. So that's like, that's where I'm at. You know, I'm like, well, I liked Anna better than Elsa. She's a better character. She's funnier. Elsa's just too serious. And it's like, look, Elsa, Frozen 1, you know, if you just communicated your feelings and were honest with everyone, there wouldn't be a movie. Like this, there wouldn't be any, all the problems stem from you. You are the villain of Frozen 1. Like, you cause everything to go wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway, Frozen 2, like, she's the hero, she's going, she's running off, she's leaving her sister behind, which is, I understand, right? It's dangerous. But Anna was, like, she was also, you know, if one half of the movie's heart is Olaf, and the other half would be Anna.
No, how dare you?
You know? What are you gonna say? Something ignorant, like Sven?
Sven.
Okay, Sven is wonderful. I don't say anything bad about Sven. Anyway.
What about the bromance between Kristoff and... Greg, I don't know.
The guy
that had a really normal name. They're like, he's from the Enchanted Forest.
And he's one,
like,
of the indigenous folk in the Enchanted Forest. I don't know, what's his name? Steve?
Yeah, it was like Jeff. Arthur or something like that. Yeah. It's like, okay, right. Yeah.
No, I mean, this is my point about Frozen. The parts of the movie I love. Anna, Kristoff, Sven, Olaf. You know who they make the movie about? Elsa.
Olaf. Oh.
Elsa, and why? It's like the least good part about the movie. Like, all she's blonde and she does the solos.
Yeah.
And that's all she has going for her. So why isn't there more Olaf? Why isn't there more Sven? Why isn't there more Anna? Why isn't there more Kristoff? And what's with the story? And this is, I enjoyed this movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to say it was a bad movie. What I'm saying is it could have been a perfect movie if you killed Elsa in the first 5 minutes.
No.
And we went on an adventure with Anna and Kristoff, Olaf, and Sven. Right?
I feel like...
Elsa's dragging him down, okay? Am I wrong? No, I'm right. Okay. Now you say some stuff.
You went...
I'm getting all worked up.
You went real hard there.
I'm getting worked up.
I'm finding the guy's name.
Oh, yeah. I didn't.
I think it was Ryder. Ryder was his name.
Ryder. Why not? I had to look that whole thing up because the whole story is that there's the indigenous folk living in the Enchanted Forest, and then there's like the king's men that go up there, but then there's like a weird betrayal, and then like they're fighting always. And I was so confused. I had this debate with Bailey, like not even debate. We were just so confused by it because we're like, okay, so the brown people are indigenous people, right? Like, sort of like the same way you've got Eskimos, you know? But we were so confused because, and this is just my understanding of how skin pigment works, but my understanding was people with, like, the least sun become whiter, and people with the most sun become darker over long periods of time, right? That's, like, the adaptation thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just confused. I was like, well, if they're going as far north as possible, why aren't these people white? And like I said, I looked it up. Like, yeah, there are like indigenous peoples in northern Russia and northern Norway and Finland or whatever that are like this tribe that it's based on. I was like, well, that's great. But I just didn't, I couldn't work out the math in my head. Did it confuse you, or are you just like, yeah, no, this makes sense?
Yeah, no, I feel like you've never seen an Inuit person before.
Yeah, but we're not talking about Alaska. And that's what I associate. You know what I'm saying?
You're talking about like Norway.
We're talking about Norway.
Where they went up to Alaska.
Norway's...
Go up and over.
What?
It's easy.
No, it's not how it works. That's not how it works. I've seen a map.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Up and over, Cody.
No, that's not where
Alaska
is.
Are you insinuating that it's flat, that the Earth itself is flat? Because that's a whole separate podcast. And that comes out on Tuesdays.
Look.
Here's the thing, Cody. Here's what you don't understand.
If you go north of Norway, it's just the ocean. That's why I'm confused.
Keep going north, Cody.
Okay, it's ocean?
Keep going.
What is this? I don't know what this... There's Svalbard. Okay? And then I'm going more north, and then the map ends.
Keep going.
If I go to the bottom of the map, that's at Antarctica. So...
That's the... No.
You would have to go completely... You would have to go all the way to... I don't understand. Okay, I'm pulling up a globe app. You're just yanking my chain.
Cody, here's the real physicist. I've done the numbers. I've got used my physics degree to crunch all the maths, and I've come to the conclusion that this does not take place in a real place in any way.
I don't like I like that answer less than my answer of, I'm allowed to be confused.
Really, it takes place way in the future, and her magic is just nanites that have been bio-locked to her by her parents.
See, that I can live with. Thank you.
Yeah. But they don't. They knew, but they didn't know. They knew that if they went to this place, they could do it. But they had to go to the frozen place, which is really just a giant supercomputer complex that was built inside of a glacier catalogs all things using these nanites.
Yeah, that whole thing that are in the water. It was a whole thing.
Because water has memory because of the nanites.
That makes sense.
So Olaf recounts the whole first movie.
It had
been told to me so many times, I was like, it's not going to be funny. And then Olaf goes through the whole thing. He says all the stuff. He says Elsa and Anna drifting apart, but at least they got their parents. Boom. Dark, black and white. He's off in the corner. Their parents are dead. And I lost it. I lost it. I laughed very loudly in the theater full of children. About the dead parents.
That was great. I mean, like I said, Olaf is the heart and soul of this film. I love it. And how come he only gets one solo and Elsa gets one? She should get zero and he should get two.
Yeah, but Idina Menzel.
He's so good. Olaf is wonderful.
But what about Kristoff? What about his 80s?
Oh, I
mean, power ballad music video.
That was maybe the best surprise of the movie, because I knew Olaf was going to have a funny song and it was going to be great and he was going to be funny. What I was not expecting was the 80s love ballad. And that, I mean, that was a great scene.
I was laughing. I was chuckling. I was looking around for confirmation that this was funny and I was getting nothing.
Yeah, it was interesting. I feel like only like maybe 30% of our theater picked up on it.
I was like,
at least of the adults in the room picked up on it. And I was like, this is delightful.
How did they pull this off?
This is great.
I'm like, this is well done. And it's like, it is just an 80s music video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. I really like that. I didn't like Anna and Kristoff's story where Kristoff like just kept saying the wrong things when he was trying to propose to her.
Yeah,
I was like,
that's just because you do that.
This is fine. You know, it's like, whatever. It's like, I feel like, give me more.
No.
Give me some more of it.
They can't have more depth.
Give me more depth. It was weak.
What are they going to do? Argue about whether or not she wants children? They can't talk about this stuff. Cody, it's Disney.
Yeah, you're right.
What are they going to argue about?
I don't know. Sex stuff.
No.
Here's what they're going to argue about.
Do that.
They accidentally kill one of the members of the Royal Guard during a routine traffic stop. Then they have to run on the lam together and overcome the odds while bonding together and bringing together the Scandinavian, the white Anglo-Saxon Scandinavian community. What I want.
Will it bring them closer together or tear them
apart? Tear them apart. That's what I want to know. That's the movie I want.
That's the spinoff we all want. That's the Disney short that's going to win the next Oscar.
What I need is a Disney film, an animated Disney film that is the white answer to Queen and Slim. This is what I want. That's what I want.
The white answer to Queen and Slim.
Sure is. Anyway, so, yeah. But yeah, it's just funny. Like, Anna's always kind of been a little bit, you know, like head in the clouds. But she's like even more clueless in this movie, and I was just like, I want justice for Anna. She was the plot of the last movie, and I feel like she was like just the tail on the tailcoats of this one.
Yeah, I do like there's one scene where Elsa's like, you can't come with me, this is gonna be dangerous, and she just really quickly runs through all the stuff she did in the first movie and be like, yeah, no, I can do stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I got it. I'm with it.
But yeah, it's fine. I have a question for you.
The lizard is adorable.
Well, that's the other thing about this movie, is that lizard is amazing. It's like, it was the thing I didn't know that would happen that I never knew I needed. A little fire lizard.
Oh,
It's fantastic. It's the
same gecko model that Disney has been using a lot recently.
They used it in Tangled.
And I love it every time.
I don't get sick of it. And it's on fire. And it likes to cuddle up in the snow.
Yeah, because it's so hot all the time. So it wants to cool off. Wants to
cool down. Love it. That was a wonderful touch. That's the thing about this movie is like, as much as me as like a film guy was like, well, I want the writing to be different. I don't understand this plot hole. I was like, but there's a fire lizard and Olaf has a solo. So what can I really complain about? This is fun.
Yeah.
This is a good time.
Sven finally gets to eat his nose because he gets a new nose. That happens.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. He's also wearing a little outfit, which I found adorable at the very end.
Oh, yeah.
Which, for some reason, he has his arms straight out to the side like he can't bring them down. I'm like, they're sticks. They're sticks stuck to your side. Also, the charades when he transformed and did Elsa, that was real funny. I liked that a lot. Like that? He did the little, he put made the big old hips and he did the walk.
Yeah.
Like she does when she's doing Let It Go.
Yeah. Fun fact about this movie, I was deep in the trivia today while I was waiting to be able to come home and record this episode.
Yes.
Fun fact, Frozen 1, you're not ready for how fun this fact is.
Okay? I'm ready.
Frozen 1, Elsa never had her shoes off. So they had to redesign her character so she could have feet in the 3D model for this movie. They had to revamp her and design her feet because she had no toes or any, like, her foot. They had to design it. Did you know that? Did you know that she was never barefoot in Frozen 1? Did you know? Did you notice? Did you notice that she was barefoot in this movie?
I did.
And therefore necessitating, why didn't, because she didn't have feet, like her toes, she didn't have toes in the first one. Even like the model, in the canon of the movie, and by the virtue of the properties of physics, she didn't have toes, but in this one she does. Another fun fact.
Cody, they have opened the door.
to the Disney foot fetishists. That's why they did it. It was fan service for the foot fetishists.
Here's my thing that I would posit.
Please.
They didn't have to do that. They just... So Disney has the rule that as an animator, anything you animate, draw, or create in general... while in the employ of Disney, belongs to Disney.
Okay.
Thus, Disney has literally petabytes of pornographic material. A large amount of it drawn just purely for the purpose of being put into Disney's archives. Knowing that Disney will not necessarily want it, but be contractually obligated to accept it and archive it.
Wow. Petabytes.
It enormous. Just...
Well, it's funny because that's been happening since like day one at Disney. Like there were Disney animators in like the 40s drawing like Mickey Mouse doing sex with Minnie Mouse.
Yes.
Like that exists.
So I think someone just put a lot of effort into really highly detailed feet and they're like, just slap them on the ankles there.
So here's what I've learned actually since starting this episode. All animators are perverted.
Yeah. Did you just Google Elsa feet or something? Because that'd be a bad time.
I didn't Google it so much as look it up on Bing. But that's yes. Worse. That's like that. What's that mean? Where it's like if you Google. We talked about this,
I think. The suicide hotline.
If you Google suicide hotline on Google, it's like, hey, or how to commit suicide on Google, then it gives you the suicide hotline. And if you Google on, if you search for it on Bing, then it's just like, all right, top 10 ways. Let's walk through it together. You're like, oh no. Which,
the first thing that comes up is the suicide hotline, but it's like Google, you have to dig to find it.
Yeah, it's not easy.
It's like Bing is like,
I know what you want, hotline. And I'm here to give it to you.
Bing is suicide hotline. All right, here's how to do it. If Bing. You make it past that first link, you're going for it at that
Bing,
point.
Bringer of death. That's what, yeah.
Bing, this is what I got from that, though. Bing, better search engine. It gives me what I want. It doesn't try to save me. It doesn't try to do stuff. Maybe I'm a writer. Maybe I'm trying to find out ways that people kill themselves.
Yeah.
Google doesn't know my life and what I do, except for they do, and they could identify that I'm not going to do that and give me what I want.
I'm just imagining our neighbors watching TV as you're like pounding on their wall. Like, what is happening over there? Someone is making some excellent points. Okay. It's
like, wham, slam on the wall.
There are some fun Easter eggs in this movie. My favorite. Here, let me ask you. Did you notice my favorite Easter egg? How well do you know me? How much were you paying attention to the movie? You got 5 seconds.
Olaf dies.
No!
Is that your favorite one?
No!
Oh.
How dare you? There's a Totoro snowman. Did you notice that? There's a Baymax, there's a Totoro, and there's a third one I forget.
I did notice what it looked like, the Baymax one.
Yeah. My favorite is the Totoro. I was like, and they snuck Totoro in like Pixar movies and stuff too, but it still just makes me happy. I was like, Totoro.
Oh, Totoro. Totoro sucks. It's all about Cat Bus.
How dare you, sir?
Totoro doesn't do nothing. All he does is call Cat Bus.
Yeah. I've also only seen the movie once, and it was so long ago. I need to rewatch it because some people still hail it as like one of the great animated movies. And when I saw it, I was like, Miyazaki has better. But it is the emblem of Studio Ghibli, and that is why I love it.
Yeah.
It's honoring Hayao.
But is it really the emblem of them, or is it just that because was it like the first one Disney got the rights to and maybe Disney pushed it hard?
It was the first Studio Ghibli movie, I believe. Or at least it was the first Miyazaki one. So, yeah. Here's my question to you. This is the big plot hole that probably isn't a plot hole, but I just have to bring it up because before I saw this movie, I thought I understood how dams work. Now that I have seen this movie, I don't think I understand how dams work. So help me. Okay.
All right.
So here's the plot of the film.
Right.
In part. So, once upon a time, there was a king. The king was a bad dude.
No, he's a good dude in the once upon a time part.
All right. There's a king. And they have this castle in this village at the bottom of this fjord, okay? They swim, or rather take boats, up the fjord to the Enchanted Forest, and they're like, hey, we just want to be friends, and look, we're going to build this dam for you to make your water strong, and then we'll be friends. But turns out it was a trap or something. It was an ambush, and that was bad. So here's the thing. They have to destroy the dam to save the Enchanted Forest or magic or something. But if they destroy the dam, then the dam will flood the fjord and destroy their city. Now help me understand, okay? Because if their city was already existed at the bottom, how could they build the dam? The water, wouldn't there have been water where their city is? Because the dam is in the fjord above the thing. And then when you get rid of the dam, the water goes. But wouldn't the water have been there preventing the city? Because when they build the dam, it stops the water flow. So there's less water. So then you can build the city. You can't have the city there, build it, and then stop the water flow. And then the city's in danger. Does that make sense to you?
So I felt in my heart that this was going to be an issue for you. And I prepared myself.
Please.
Mentally, physically, and spiritually.
I just want the truth. And I want to understand. I am a student, and I'm here to learn.
Okay. Here it is. The city is in the fjord, which is by the ocean. Fun fact, river is not going to affect the level of the ocean. So you're solid on there's always been land where that village is.
Okay.
They go up, and they dam up a river to strengthen the waters.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't make sense unless they're like the lake was a good thing, or they tricked them into thinking the lake was a good thing. But the issue is, right? So the lake was just a river, wasn't a lake, it was a river.
Okay,
so it was a constant stream of water.
Okay,
and then they dam it up, and it's a big stream of water. Mm. All right,
mm-hmm.
So it'd be like, think about this, think about running your faucet for 10 minutes. With the cap open,
uh-huh.
It's fine. It's all gonna go down the drain.
But if you save up 10 minutes worth of water
and then dump it all in there at once,
it's bad.
Is your whole kitchen's wet now?
All right,
you're probably gonna drown and die.
Yeah. All right, that does help.
Stopped the tidal wave with ice shield.
Right. Then the water settles because it's
yeah, then it kind of, yeah, then it just drains into the ocean, which, as I said, is the ocean.
Big. That's what people don't understand about the ocean, and it's what no one's ever understood about the ocean except for me. It's big.
It's big.
All right?
It's a big boy.
It's very big, and not only is there a lot of water.
Big lady.
There's a lot of salt as well, mixed in with the water.
Fun fact, I watched a documentary that's dated, which I believe to be a ridiculous statement. It's a true statement in a way, but at the same time, a massively ridiculous statement. They said in here, in this documentary, the natural state of water, you'd think it's salt water's natural state of water.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's fresh water's natural state of water. What? I would posit the natural state of water is water with stuff in it. But they're like, I'm like, you cannot look at the, they're like, the I'm like, what are you saying that water, the H2O, the element, doesn't have salt? Yes, I will agree with that. H2O, the molecule, not the element, the molecule is definitely free of salt molecules. I'm like, what are you talking about, Will Smith? Of course it's not salt water naturally. It gets it from the runoff. It drains it. It gets the saltiness. What?
I love science. I love it.
Also, most water is salt water. So that's
a good point.
Salt water is the default water. Okay.
That's a great point. Fun fact, this is the first theatrical sequel to a Disney princess movie.
What?
Think about it. Disney's been making movies for like, what, 90 years?
Oh, I know. That was straight to DVD, wasn't it? Oh.
See, there are sequels to Disney princess movies. They were not released in theaters.
I was going to say the Aladdin one, but that one was not.
Sure wasn't.
Because King of Thieves had a theatrical release, I think.
Sure
but
weren't.
But Return of Jafar did not.
Yeah. So, isn't that crazy to think about?
That's not true anymore.
What?
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Because Princess Leia is a Disney princess.
Oh my gosh.
Boom!
You need to leave.
Boom!
So, here's what I'm saying. Frozen 1, Elsa has supernatural powers.
Right.
Frozen 2, she has superpowers. Frozen 3, Elsa gets Marvel superhero buff. All right? She gets Thor shredded, and she joins the Avengers animated Avengers movie. Let's go.
But Iceman's never been shredded.
Hmm?
She's Iceman. She's Ice Woman. How dare you? You didn't see it. That means you're racist.
I want her to get shredded, okay?
Right.
I want her to get Kumail Nanjiani ripped. You see that picture yet? You seen the picture of Kumail Nanjiani ripped? You fool, your phone is so far away. I need you to look it up. I need you to react live on air right now for the whole world to download and digest. Kumail Nanjiani, who will be starring in the Marvel movie, I forget. Eternals. The Eternals? That sounds right. That sounds like a comic book.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So he is now svelte. Do you see him glisten? Do you see the definition?
Yes.
Yeah. He's ripped now. The Silicon Valley star. The stand-up comedian. Is that not the buffest stand-up comedian you've ever seen?
It is not.
Him. Who?
Carrot Top.
Ugh, I guess. But he's not brown. He's not caramel colored, all right?
He's close. Not naturally.
But, like, Carrot Top is scary buff, whereas Kumail Nanjiani is, like, shredded buff, you know?
Yeah, Carrot Top, something happened there. You know what I'm saying?
Something like, terrible.
Like, something caused that change.
I don't know. Like, he's taken roids for stand-up comedy. That's what doesn't make sense, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to prop comedy? Like, how was it so short-lived? Okay.
Let me just point this photo at you for a second. That's old Carrot Top.
I don't like anything that's happening man. In that picture.
His pants are very low.
His pants are low, but he's not shiny and svelte.
You know,
He's puffy. You know,
he looks like an old woman.
He is okay.
So much plus.
Here's my other thing about this movie.
Yes,
Idina Menzel, she's like a pretty good singer, right? People can agree.
She's all right.
She's done okay for herself. Her voice is not particularly my cup of tea. You know, it's not my favorite kind of female voice, although she is an excellent vocalist and a wonderful singer, okay? Which is fine. You know, Let It Go just really, it was everywhere for so long, and it did a number on us all. Even her. Elsa in the movie cringes when she hears Let It Go, which also was a fun little thing.
Yeah. It's a fun time.
The end credits of this movie. Did you stay for these end credits?
I did.
Brendan Urie singing Into the Unknown is everything.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful. It's like, well, yes. Why haven't we always let him sing? We need a Panic at the Disco album of Disney covers is what I'm saying.
What about Weezer?
It was okay.
How dare you?
It was fine in that, like, in that all Weezer in the last like 10 years have been like, yeah, it's, you know, not bad. The chorus is pretty good. You're saying you liked it? You liked it a lot? I'm not a Weezer fan, okay? I like the Blue Album and like two other Weezer songs. That's where I'm at in my life, and I've come to accept and understand that. I won't hate another man for liking Weezer, you know? I won't hate another man for being into their mid to late career stuff, you know? Have at it. Enjoy it. Support them. But don't tell me that I have to like it, you know? The chorus is pretty good. I think they did a good job with the chorus part because they do the harmonies on the chorus, which is nice, and it's very Weezer-y, but still kind of captures a little bit of that 80s vibe almost at the same time. Pretty good. So you liked it? You liked the Weezer one? You liked the Weezer cover of the song? It seems like it's one of those things. And the same thing that happened to Weezer happened to Panic at the Disco, right? So the front man was always there, okay? The front man for Weezer, whatever his name is, I forget. He was there for the first album or the first two albums. And there was the other guy in the band who was great and really good and definitely had an impact on the music because after one or two albums, the guy leaves. Same thing happened to Brendan Urie. I think the guy's name was Ryan Murphy. I could be wrong. But, you know, he stayed for the first two, and he did, like, all the song. If we're talking about Panic at the Disco now, he did, all like, most of the songwriting in Pretty Odd. And then he leaves. And you're like, well, Pretty Odd was an amazing album. I love it. It's my favorite Panic at the Disco album. But then Panic at the Disco, it's like, well, what are they going to do? Brendan Urie is here by himself. He wasn't the main songwriter. And now he has to take over songwriting responsibilities, and the band's really changed. And I think Brendan Urie has come into his own as a songwriter, Grant. Like, he's doing great work. His last couple albums have been really good, and I'm really glad for them. But Pretty Odd still holds a special place in my heart, and I feel the same way about Weezer. Like, the Blue Album, it was perfect, and it captured a whole decade, a whole vibe, a whole essence. But once that additional piece left, then it just wasn't the same. It was no longer Weezer. It became whatever the guy's name's project band, which is still good if you like it. But if you're just a fan of the Blue Album like me, then there's not much left for you to be offered. What is it? Cuomo? Rivers Cuomo. I think that's the name of the Weezer guy. So what I'm saying is his song was good, but Brendan Urie's song was great. So you liked it?
No, I don't.
You like the Weezer one?
I don't like Weezer that much. I'm not the biggest Weezer fan.
Did you like the cover at the end of Frozen 2, though?
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't know any other Weezer songs.
You brought up... Okay, so here's the thing. You brought up that Weezer did a cover of a Frozen 2 song at the end of Frozen.
Yeah, because they were doing their song as their name underneath the song scrolled past. That's when their song was placed.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying I noticed it was Weezer. I thought, this song seems off. And then I saw that it was Weezer, and I was like, oh, that's why it seems like it's off.
Yeah.
But did you stay for Olaf's recount of the current movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I did. I sure did. I think Olaf is wonderful. What's the name of his voice actor? Josh Gad?
Josh Gad.
Fantastic. He improvised some of those lines. The Samantha line, maybe my favorite line in the movie.
Yeah.
He just improvised.
That's what was Samantha.
Like, Samantha? I don't know anyone named Samantha.
And then when they're looking in the pit, he's like, Samantha? Are they you, Samantha?
Josh Gad is delightful. His character in New Girl, it's everything. Mm. Captures my whole heart. Bear Claws is named. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, he has a character in New Girl. He's only in like 3 episodes, maybe. His name is Bear Claw. It's great.
That's good stuff. But so back to Weezer.
The thing is, I have friends, like the two other guys in Three Guys, Three Questions, they grew up on 90s punk and garage stuff. So like Green Day and Weezer is like the epitome of their high school experience, you know? Whereas me, I grew up and maybe I was a classic rock kid, which is pretty lame. But for me, it was probably more like the Killers would have been like the sound of my growing up, you know, where it's like, oh, you're a teenager and this is like it would have been more like the Killers or something like that, or Panic at the Disco even. Or maybe the Strokes. Yeah, the Strokes were pretty big and I did like them. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just different. It's different as someone who consumes Green Day and Weezer post, you know, like after their heyday, you know, after they become washed up, because like, Weezer and Green Day were the real deal. And then they got older and, you know, when you're like a punk or a garage kind of band and then you get old, it's like, well, now what do we do? You know, what do you do at that point? Because you can't have the angst the same way. Nevertheless, My Chemical Romance, they're getting back together. How are they going to do it? No one knows. What makes me sad, and I'm going to go back to Panic at the Disco one more time. Ryan Murphy, which is probably the guy's name, he hasn't put out anything good. And I'm like, well, if you were the songwriter that brought us one of my favorite albums, right? Then where are you? You know, he had another band he was in, and it wasn't great. And what's he doing now, you know? Can he at least write songs? Like, some people stop making music and just write songs and produce music. But what is he doing? I don't know. I really haven't. I listened to his other band, and it wasn't good, and I gave up on him. And maybe that's my fault. Maybe we shouldn't give up on someone just because they disappoint us once. So people deserve a second chance.
To bring it back to Green Day, Cody.
Yeah.
You were saying, what do they do? Because they can't maintain the angst. I defy it. Green Day has maintained the angst. Having recently watched a concert of theirs, they look exactly the same. With the exception of the drummer, who looks exceptionally old. Just like a very old man amongst very young men, even though they're all the same age, I think. But they did a concert.
See, that's the problem with the punk look, is that like it starts to show and quick. Like, okay, are you familiar with the Sex Pistols?
Yes.
Which is, you know, it's like one of the OG punk bands that took punk to the next level, you know?
Yeah,
the Ramones are out here messing around, and you're like, punk's pretty fun. The Sex Pistols are like, no, we are not fun. This is about anarchy and angst. Anyway, point is, have you seen him lately?
No.
Oh, yes. He is dressing the same. He is wearing the same hairstyle and the same makeup, except that he's an old man now. And it is terrifying. It is so scary to see Sex Pistols guy these days.
That's why Kiss did it right, because they went so over the top that they know you can't. It doesn't matter how old it doesn't even matter if it's really them.
It's okay. Going back to Insane Clown Posse, all right, I know we talked about this in a different episode, it's the same thing. They're like, no, look, we got this whole vibe going. This one, that's the thing. Like, Insane Clown Posse, I don't know a lot about them. I know their fans are called Juggalos, and I know they do clown stuff, and it's like heavy metal, right? It's like psychedelic clown rock metal. So here's the thing. Insane Clown Posse, what people don't realize, they're just swapping out members. When people are ready to retire, they put their 3.5 years in, they leave, they put someone else in clown makeup in. You know what I'm saying? It's not the original lineup. Hasn't been the original lineup for 6 years. I'll tell you that for a fact, okay? I may know nothing about Insane Clown Posse, but I know it's not the original lineup.
Yeah. I feel like we're like... I mean, the only thing more dangerous to go after than the Insane Clown Posse is Scientology, Cody.
Well, actually, in my other podcast, I recently talked about Scientology. Oh, okay? No. I went a whole rant about Tom Cruise. And I will say this. I think he's living his best life. Okay? You can trash talk Scientology all you want. Tom Cruise, he's doing okay. All right? Still doing his own stunts. All right? His teeth... With the alignment of his teeth versus how much money he's made, he's arguably the most, like, successful man in the history of time, you know? Like,
his midichlorians are off the charts, Cody. He's got... How is he not running that church at this point? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. I just don't think he has time to continue making Mission Impossibles and... run the Church of Scientology, which is why he's left it to other people. He doesn't want to deprive us of the gift of 3 more installments of Mission Impossible before he dies.
And it's worth it.
Here's the thing.
Scientology is a bad organization, but they give us Mission Impossible.
And that's, you know, that's more than most religions can say.
Yeah. When was the last time the Methodists made an action movie? That's what I want to know. Never.
Never.
The Puritans gave us The Village. The Scientologists gave us Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm. And the Catholics gave us Da Vinci Code.
Exactly.
So, I think Mission Impossible is my favorite out of those. That's the one I would pick, you know? If I had to eliminate 2... I would keep Mission Impossible.
If I had to eliminate 2 that weren't Scientology, I would also agree. I would agree under any other circumstances, too. But back to Frozen, which I'll remind you is the point of the podcast. But, you know, I feel like we've really nestled down deep into the point of the movie. Here's the point I want to make. So the big twist is that their grandfather was a douche that was suspicious of people because they had it too easy. Because of the magic. And he killed the leader of the peeps.
Yeah.
Up north. He brought his whole guard.
Yeah.
He brought an army with him.
Yep.
They went into the forest... to find 5 guys.
Yeah.
They lost.
Mm-hmm.
These soldiers lost to a bunch of dudes wielding sticks.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were bad soldiers.
They were soft is their problem. Like, okay, you think about the Vikings. Yeah. Right? And we're talking about Scandinavia right now. We're talking about Vikings, all right? These are people built for battle, for pillaging, for plundering, all
right? Right.
Now, let's go to Elsa's village. These are a bunch of doofuses that hang out with reindeer and stuff, you know? Like, he's a soft man. That's what I'm saying. They're not the tough Viking boys they once were. These are soft people who live in a castle at the bottom of a fjord. And they got it easy.
Yeah. But they lost. Only 5 survived, Cody. And then they immediately stopped their 30 plus years of fighting because some new people showed up.
Yeah, it was weird because, like, they were both trapped in the same place. And so anytime they met up, they just argued and fought some. Of course, and that was, like, what they've been doing for the last 30 years.
You could say one of 2 things happened. This is why I talked to Tiffany about this afterwards. Now, I'm going to preface this with saying if I were to ask the Disney writing team that wrote the movie, hey, what happened to their grandfather's army? They would probably say, who cares? It's a kid's movie. But I, as a good podcaster, I put forward two options, okay? One, they all retreated. They left. They saw everything's going downhill. The mist is coming. Scatter. Scatter like rats. And that's what they did.
Yeah.
And only a few of them got trapped. And the guys who were super old, they're dead now. Mm. But the guys who were young, strong, nubile, they're still alive and kicking. And there's only five of them. The other option is there was a bitter war for decades and only five survived, and they reached a point when they were dying like crazy where they just were like, look, neither one of us is getting out of this mess. Let's just agree to not talk to each other.
Mm. Yeah.
And they're just what's left. Because the king or the prince had to get out somehow, that cart, they just went into a cart. Mm-hmm. Where was the cart? How did the cart get back to the village? How did nobody notice the chick underneath the blanket and right next to the prince? Why did their mom sit right next to their dad being like, I don't know who saved me, and not be like once in her life, hey, by the way, I'm the one who saved you. Yeah. Which they imply she did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she obviously didn't, because the king was like, I don't know who it was. And then the king died with the queen. Water has memory. It's a real thing here, Cody. Here's what you do. If you put a DNA strand in water.
Yeah.
And then...
is this salt water or fresh water?
Fresh water.
Non-natural pure, state water?
Non-natural state water. No, pure natural state water, Cody.
Okay.
Because it's water with some stuff in it.
Right.
But pure water with just a little bit of stuff in it.
Got it.
You take the water, you put a single strand of DNA in there, and then you put it in there and you do something to it with the harmonics or something. I don't know. I think you just leave it in there, actually. And then you take it out. And then you take that water and you put in what? You put in just the bits of the DNA strand. The water will assemble the DNA strand.
Oh. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Water has memory. It's a big thing. My brother gave a big speech about it when he was reading about it. He cried a little bit, but that's only because he took Sudafed before he did it. And he cries when he takes Sudafed. Hmm. Cody, did you like this movie? Really?
I did like the movie. And I'll say it again. I like it.
But you don't like
Weezer. Because of Olaf. I like it because of Anna.
And because I like of Weezer.
Because of Rivers Cuomo.
How did you feel about the scene when the sister Anna and Elsa were like, oh, we're part of your tribe because our mom is, and then they started singing and you thought there's some magic gonna go down, and the old lady held their hands and said the name of their tribe that everybody knew already.
Yeah.
And that was it.
I mean, it's fine, you know.
It was a cool song. I like those native music things. I like those songs.
Yeah.
I like
all right, quick, do your best magic forest call. Like that?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
But see, that
like
was...
the whole week after I saw the movie, I was like running through my head. Are you living that right now, or is that just me?
It's going through my head. I definitely have not done it out loud. Nothing. Nothing.
So does that mean if I take a bath, that water remembers like the contours of my genitals?
Yes.
That terrifies me.
Elsa can freeze it into ice.
She could freeze my butt cheeks, the shape of my butt cheeks, out of the water I take a bath in.
Yep.
So, like, I take a bath, I drain it. That water goes to Kansas City Water Processing.
Wastewater Treatment Plant.
Waywater. Okay, they process that water.
Blue River Treatment Plant.
It ends up back in my water supply. My water heater heats up, goes to my next bath. Like, or is it, what if my neighbor's bath water becomes my bath water? Does that mean we've made love? Like, what are the implications of this water has memory thing?
Oh, here's the problem, Cody. You're thinking it's coming back to you only as bath water. You're drinking that water, Cody. You're taking your own genitals within yourself.
This movie is magical.
It really is.
I did like this movie. I did enjoy it for as much as, like, I would have changed. You know, like, I got out of Zootopia and I was like, this is a near perfect movie. I got out of this and was like, there's so many problems with this movie. Still liked it. Still enjoyed it. It's a good movie, you know.
I cried. I didn't cry.
Mm.
I felt mildly emotional.
I did too. I don't remember what part, but I did too at some point.
In the
part
glacier
of it.
Is when they got me. Mm, yeah, she's singing with her mom. Moment. That was very singing tender. With her mom, I was like, this is tender.
Yeah.
This is tender. It's hitting my feel button, but it didn't hit it fully. It just kind of like its nail kind of caught it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I know that. I know that feeling.
Oh, pop your toes.
I did. I
pause the whole podcast to pop your toes.
I mean, I don't have much else to say, you know? It was a goodie. If you're into Disney at all, you know, it's a must-see. If you got kids, it's like, yeah, it's a safe bet. You know, it's an animated movie. It's beautifully animated. They'll enjoy it. They'll enjoy the fun jokes of Olaf and the heavy-handed drama of Elsa running around without shoes.
Yeah, she just runs on that gravel with no shoes. She felt uncomfortable in the water when the horse was coming from the depths.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fear of mine.
Mm-hmm. Drowning?
No.
Water horses.
I'm afraid of sharks in water.
Oh, yeah.
Even when I'm in a pool and I can clearly see the entirety of the pool, yeah. I'm afraid a shark's going to get me.
I pet actually, a shark earlier this year.
Let me rephrase it.
Yeah.
Because the reality is, as an adult, I have changed it to sharks. But the actual visceral, deep-seated fear is not of
manatees.
Sharks.
It's manatees, isn't it?
Swordfish.
Swordfish?
Because they just stab your leg, and then what are you going to do?
Stab you.
It's going to freak out if it does it.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't want to stab you. Mm-hmm. It's not supposed to get stuff on there. So it's going to freak
what does
the
sword
out.
Part of a swordfish even do?
I don't know. Sensors or something.
What's
I
it
think?
Supposed to be?
I think it's a proximity sensor.
What is it for?
If sensing proximity.
Oh.
But honestly, if I saw the fan of a fan fish or a swordfish, because, you know, they got the big old fan on their back coming at me. I would rather see the fin of a great white shark coming at me at full speed than the fan of a swordfish. Yeah. I would freak out so hard if I saw that swordfish coming at me.
Yeah, I mean, I saw enough movies as a kid that I was like, there was a piranha movie or something, and I was like, piranhas, that is a problem that I'm going to have to deal with for the rest of my life. Turns out, not one time have I encountered a piranha in the water with me.
It's like, who's the comedian that has the joke about quicksand?
John Mulaney, maybe?
Is he the quicksand is way less of an issue than I thought it was going to
be? Maybe John Mulaney. That or Mike Birbiglia, I forget. No, it's got to be JM.
You like the John Mulaney, that's
for
sure.
I'm a big fan. I'm just going to go ahead and take this opportunity to plug his Christmas special that will probably be coming out the same day this podcast is released. It's called John Mulaney and the Sack Lunch Bunch.
It's going to be funny.
Coming out on Netflix. Yeah, I'm very excited
about
it. Probably. So, I have nothing else to say about this movie. I enjoyed it. You should watch it, probably. I mean, it's part of the culture. It's an enjoyable film. Olaf is in it. Even if Olaf was only in the first 5 minutes, I would still watch this movie. If they make a Frozen 3 and Olaf is just does one reenactment scene just to catch us all up on the story, I'm in.
Here's what we need. Olaf.
Yeah.
And whoever Michael Pena played in Ant-Man.
Yeah.
They just need to... Olaf can recount all of Avengers and Michael Pena can recount all of Frozen.
Ugh, I would love that.
We would all love it, and it would make $1 million.
Sure would.
Olaf, here's what they do. They do a Disney Plus show. This is my $1 million idea. Nay, my $1 billion idea that Disney can have for free. Two shows on Disney Plus. One show, all the live-action Disney movies. What's his name? What's the character that Michael Peña plays? Luis.
Yes.
He describes every single live action movie, and they get big actors to do it. It's 30 minutes. That's all the time they have. So they got to skip over stuff and way oversimplify complex storylines. Do the same thing with Olaf for all the animated movies.
That would be amazing.
Make them 5 minutes. Every Disney movie gets done that way. Every animated one. Michael Pena can have 15 to 30 minutes. You decide, Disney, you got the market research. You know. You know enough to know this would make you $1 billion. If they did that show and you had to pay a dollar or more per episode, you would definitely buy more episodes than you would care to admit.
I would buy them all. I wouldn't hesitate.
There it is.
There it is. Disney, you can finally dig out of that financial hole you've been in for the last 20 years. You're welcome.
You could buy Apple with the amount of money you would make from that show. We did it. We fixed all the problems. We
fixed them. And you got to hear my take on some of the hottest bands around.
Yeah.
The most relevant music of our day.
Yeah,
Sex definitely. Pistols. Green Day.
Weezer.
Weezer. Insane Clown Posse. An album by Panic at the Disco that came out 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We really did it. We did it all.
We did everything.
Here's how good Pretty Odd is. All right. Here's how good this album is.
Tell me.
I hated it.
Oh.
When I was a sophomore or junior in high school. When Nine in the Afternoon came out, I was like, this is the worst song that's ever been made. I hate everything about it, and I hate that every girl in the world is singing it, and I hate that they're on Saturday Night Live playing it, ruining a perfectly good evening with Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig. And here I am, now a grown man. I fully appreciate not only that song, but the entire album surrounding it. I love Pretty Odd. It's a great album.
Mm.
If you want to listen to Pretty Odd on my record player with me, tweet us. At Opinion Havers, I'll give you my home address. You can come on over. We'll listen to it. It'll be a good time. I'll sing along with a lot of it. Because here's the thing about Pretty Odd, all right? They're what some people would call a descant, you know? So you got the melody, which is one line, but then there's another line stacked on top of that line. Furthermore, there's a third line that's sung on top of that, and it repeats over and over, each line overlapping each other. That's one of my favorite things you can do in music, and they do it in like three different songs in that album.
I don't know why, but when you said overlapping each other, all immediately flashed in my mind interlinked, and I almost said interlinked like out.
Oh gosh, what is...
Like I'm a dang Hold replicant.
From Blade Runner?
Yeah.
Overlapping. Interlinked. Blade Runner. Why are we watching Blade Runner right now? I need you to turn this off. Stop the recording. We need to watch Blade Runner.
All right, let's do it.
All right, thanks for listening. Share us, review us, tweet me at Opinion Havers. No!
Blade Runner, we're going to watch it right now.